Today, many around the world who claim to be Christians are thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Of course, the resurrection is a central part and a foundational part of the entire New Testament gospel, and without it, Christianity would not exist. Friends, I want to thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. I hope that we can spend some time this morning in a study of God's Word. And I want to raise the question, what did the resurrection do to Jesus' followers? And what should the resurrection do to us today? On a Sunday like this one, upon the first day of the week, early in the morning, Jesus came out of the grave. He was resurrected almost 2,000 years ago. It changed his followers. It should change us. The event happened around this time of the year in the early spring. And I think about the time of year in which it took place. The springtime is a time for new beginnings, when there is new growth in plants and trees and flowers, where you have the dead of winter passing away and the new life of spring coming on. In a symbolic way, the resurrection is like that. It is a new beginning. Jesus coming back from the dead. And not only was it a new beginning for him, but a new beginning for his followers. And so this morning I want to talk about new beginnings and what the resurrection did to Jesus' followers. And I hope that that same resurrection will create newness in us today in obeying the gospel and living faithfully for Jesus each and every day. If you have an opportunity to visit this evening at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, if you live in the area and we would love to have you come at 6 p.m. this evening, I'm going to talk more in detail about the evidence for the resurrection. There are a number of man-made theories that people have set forth in order to say that there really wasn't a resurrection of Jesus. He was either left in the tomb or his body was stolen away by his disciples, but he was not resurrected. And there have been down through the years six popular theories to try to discount or go against the resurrection. And we're going to look at all of those this evening at 6 p.m. And we're going to answer those with the evidence, just like one would in a court of law. And that may be something of interest to you. We would love to have you come. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Come join us this evening for that resurrection evidence lesson. We meet at 6 p.m. New beginnings. What did the resurrection do for Jesus' followers? Well, first of all, it gave them the zeal to spread the gospel. We're going to look at some of the resurrection accounts this morning on the program. We certainly don't have time to look at all of them, but we'll just take a sampling of them and see what it did to Jesus' followers. It gave them a renewed zeal to spread the word of God. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 8, the women who had come to the tomb, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. So even the women are going to share the good news of the resurrection. And of course, Jesus himself meets with the 11 in Galilee, chapter 28, verse 16, and they went unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." They went out and did that, beginning on the day of Pentecost, some 50 days later. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up with the 11 and begins to preach that New Testament gospel. And that sermon in Acts chapter 2 included the resurrection. Friends, we need a renewed zeal to spread the word to the sinful world around us. Will we do that? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the New Testament Christians were being persecuted, and Luke records that they went everywhere preaching the word. We need to take the gospel to a lost and dying world in sin and share with them how that they can be baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, how that they can observe the teaching of Jesus and all that he's commanded and live a faithful Christian life. The disciples went from hiding after Jesus died on the cross on a Friday afternoon, then Saturday, early Sunday morning, on that first day of the week, they're hiding for fear of the Jews. But the resurrection and the personal and physical and direct appearances of Jesus gave them zeal to go out and talk with others. And we need that zeal today. A second thing that the resurrection did for Jesus' followers was that it led them to reverent worship. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9, "And behold, Jesus met them, the women that were departing from the tomb, saying, All hail. And they came and took hold of his feet and worshiped him." We already read in verse 17 that when Jesus met with the 11 in Galilee, that when they saw him, they worshiped him. It's very important. It led them to have a reverent worship toward Jesus because he is the almighty divine Son of God. And that's very important. In Acts chapter 1, when the apostles and other followers of Jesus are waiting for the day of Pentecost to come, they're in Jerusalem. And we read in Acts chapter 1, Jesus has ascended back into heaven. They returned, they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near unto Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey off. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper chamber where they were abiding, both Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas and James. These all with one accord continued steadfastly in prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They're praying, and they are happy, and they are excited about the fact that Jesus is living and that he has ascended back into heaven. If you look at the end of the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 50, "And he led them out until they were over against Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." Will that move us to do the same? We need a renewed zeal, a renewed reverence of worship of God and his Son Jesus in a secular world today. We need to worship God in spirit and in truth, John chapter 4 and verse 24. We live in a very secular and ungodly and worldly culture around us that is not interested. Someone shared with me a story the other day about how that church attendance, the number of people in this country who do not attend any church at all on a Sunday is very high, up around 70%, I believe. That is amazing. It was not that way years ago, but we are becoming more and more atheistic, secular, humanistic, agnostic, unbelieving, and many people, especially the younger generations, they have no time for God or Jesus. And they're going to have a rude awakening when the Lord comes again. Friends, you may have children. We would encourage you to get them in a good Bible class, a good Bible-based class and worship service. And we have those at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. They need to grow up learning about God and Jesus. And that's very important. And it begins with parents who want that for themselves and for their children. So they were led to reverent worship. Number three, there was a new beginning for them because the resurrection moved them from doubt to evidence-based belief. As I said earlier, they were in fear after Jesus' death. They're hiding out. They're behind closed doors. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 9, Mark 16:9, now when he was risen early on the first day of the week, Jesus, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had seen her, disbelieved. After these things, he was manifested in another form unto two of them as they walked on their way into the country, and they went away and told it unto the rest, neither believed they them. And afterward, he was manifested unto the 11 themselves as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. They were not going to accept that testimony. But we find what happens is that they change, and as each of them begin to see him for themselves, they move from unbelief to belief. By the way, he expected them to accept what we call secondary evidence. He's going to give them primary evidence, but he expected them to listen to the words of others, and they did not believe that. But they slowly come around and begin to believe one after another through various appearances of Jesus. In John chapter 20, if you'll turn with me there, in John chapter 20, we're going to begin reading in verse 19. John 20 and verse 19, when therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. And of course, later Thomas is going to ask for that same type of evidence, and Jesus is going to give it to him a week later. And so we find that they are accepting evidence-based testimony. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, when Jesus was resurrected, Luke records, to whom he also, Jesus, showed himself alive after his passion, or his death, burial, and resurrection, by many proofs, appearing unto them by the space of 40 days, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. Many proofs. One version says infallible proofs. These are open, well-known, seen by all proofs. Different ways in which it was done, different people, different time frame over the space of 40 days, different circumstances to show that he was actually the resurrected Lord. Evidence-based testimony. Number four, the followers of Jesus had a new beginning in that the resurrection took them from sadness to joy. We read earlier in John chapter 20 and verse 20, when Jesus showed him his hands and his side, the disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. We need a renewed faith in Jesus in this skeptical world. We need this evidence-based testimony where everybody around us says, well, you can't know anything, and we don't know if there's a God, and we don't know if Jesus was resurrected, and we don't know if the Bible is the Word of God. We actually have evidence for all these things. And we need a renewed faith in that, and we also need a renewed joy in a very sad world. The two on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, they were excited and glad to see Jesus, and their heart burned within them when Jesus spoke with them along the way. And we need that renewed joy in a very sad world. We need to rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. We don't need to have worry and anxiety. And over this past year, that has overcome a lot of people, even to the point of death. There has been, and I spoke recently on the Let the Bible Speak program about emotional problems that people have had over this past year. But a belief in God and Jesus keeps us sane. It keeps us happy. It keeps us with knowledge and hope and peace of mind. I spoke about that recently. And this is what the world needs today. What did the resurrection do to Jesus' followers? Well, number five, it gave them a burning desire for Scripture and for truth. I spoke a moment ago about Jesus meeting the two on the road to Emmaus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, when Jesus was speaking to them, this is a beautiful account. And he meets them, and he begins to talk with them. Verse 25, Luke 24, 25. O foolish men, how slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Behooved it not that the Christ should suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Talk about a Bible class. Wow, that would have been a great Bible class to have been a part of as you're walking along on the road to Emmaus. And they drew near unto a village, whither they were going, and he made as though he would go further. And they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. And he went in to abide with them. And it came to pass, when he had sat down with them to meat, he took the bread and blessed, and breaking it, he gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Was not our heart burning within us while he spake to us in the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? It wasn't just his conversation, but a study and understanding of the scripture that made their heart burn. What a great attitude. We need that renewed burning and yearning for God's Word in an ignorant world that we live in. We need to know God's Word, and we can. It can be understood and known. We need that for ourselves and for our children and for our loved ones and friends and family. We live in a very ignorant world, and we have Bibles everywhere, and they can easily be opened and read and studied, learned and obeyed. But people are just ignorant. Some are lazy. Some don't care. And we need to have this attitude that these men had about the Word of God. Our hearts burned within us as he opened the Scriptures. In Psalm 119 and verse 97, Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Verse 113, But thy law do I love. Verse 163, But thy law do I love. Let us have a renewed interest. Get that Bible open. You probably have one, friend. If you haven't opened it in a while, open it up, start reading it. I would encourage you to start with the book of Matthew, start reading about the life of Christ. If you want to get together and study God's Word together, I'd be glad to do that in a convenient time and place for you. But let's have a burning desire for Scripture. Number six, the resurrection led Jesus' followers from trouble to peace. We read earlier in John chapter 20 that they are behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. And we read there how that they are mourning, and they are definitely disappointed. They're having troubles. And Jesus comes in and says, "Peace be unto you." What a great attitude. He said the same thing later to Thomas in verse 26, "Peace be unto you." We need a renewed peace in a troubled world. There are a lot of things going on, and when I watch the news, it seems like it gets more troubling every day. We're bothered by lawlessness in our society. We're bothered by the way decisions are made by politicians that go against not only just American values, but they go against biblical values. That's more important. And these politicians make policies that are contrary to the Word of God. And when I keep up with these stories, it just seems depressing and troubling. But I need to remember in all of that to back up and take a breath and step back and understand that I can be at peace with my God, and you can as well, with a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And we can lay our head down at night knowing that we are right with God in a very troubled world. We need to do what we can to fix things in our broken culture, but there are a lot of things that we probably will not be able to fix. We can preach and teach. I do that as much as I can. We can influence. We can vote. We can do different types of things. But there will always be sin and trouble and turmoil around us. But we don't have to be a part of that ourselves. We can live in peace. And in Philippians chapter 4, we referenced verse 4 earlier, to rejoice in the Lord, but we can have that peace that passes all understanding, verses 7 through 9. God will guard our hearts and our minds and help us through this difficult life. We have the Scriptures to help us. We have answered prayer to help us. We have other godly Christians to help us have that peace of mind. But when Jesus came to them, He brought them out of despair and trouble and problems and doubt and fear, and they were changed individuals. And a few days after this, they stand up boldly, no doubt, no fear, no more mourning, and they boldly proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost, and some 3,000 souls are baptized into Christ. What else did it do? That the resurrection reminded them of love and service. In John chapter 20, John chapter 21, when Jesus had made some more appearances at the Sea of Tiberias, and some even eat with Him, He begins to talk with Peter and asks Peter, "Do you love Me?" John 21, verse 15, "So when they had broken their fast, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou Me more than these? He saith unto Him, Yea, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. And He saith unto him, Feed My lambs. And He asked him three times, Do you love Me? But He said, Feed My lambs, feed My sheep, tend My sheep. You have a job I want you to do. And He reminded them of their love and their service. And we need that today. We live in a world where it's easy to let our love grow cold for the Lord, and we just get caught up with the things of this life. We need to be busy doing the Lord's service and to see on the pages of Scripture the resurrection of Jesus again, and to hear His words for us hopefully would stir us to love and good works. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And the Ephesian church in Revelation 2 and verse 4 had to be reminded that they had left their first love. It's easy to let our love grow cold and we just get caught up in the things that we want to do, and our love for Jesus has waned. And so before Jesus ascended back into heaven, He wanted to take Peter aside and say, hey, do you really love me? I want you to go out and serve me and tend my sheep, feed my sheep. In other words, take care of my followers. And Peter did that. He did that not only just in his general preaching and teaching, but Peter was an elder, someone who shepherded the flock, the church, 1 Peter 5, 1 and following. And he did what the Lord wanted him to do. What else did the resurrection do? Well, number 8, it taught them things concerning the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, Jesus spent time between his resurrection and ascension teaching and preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. He showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing unto them by the space of 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. He taught them. We need a renewed knowledge of God's word and God's truth and God's kingdom, the church. We live in a very humanistic world. We need to get back to serving God and being in His kingdom. And then last of all, the resurrection brought about a genuine change of heart and conversion of life. And I'm thinking about Saul of Tarsus, where Jesus met, the resurrected Jesus met Saul of Tarsus on that road to Damascus and told him to go into Damascus and he could be told what to do to be saved. Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. And Saul of Tarsus was a changed man. He went into Damascus. He was baptized there for the remission of his sins. And he started preaching Jesus in Damascus and the rest of his life. We need a renewed change of mind and heart and life. And we need to come and obey the Lord. We need to put on the Lord in baptism just like Saul of Tarsus did. And we need to be raised to walk in newness of life. What a change. He went from persecuting the church to preaching Christ. A drastic change. And we can have that change in our life today. We can be transformed by the renewing of our mind, even as a Christian, and become even better. So transformation and renewal will come about when we meet with the resurrected Lord. Will you have new beginnings in your life today? Let us help you, friend, have that. Thank you for being with us, and have a good day.